It's not every day that a newspaper devotes 16 entire pages to a single story, but the Rocky Mountain News in Colorado did exactly that today, publishing a special section called Jonathan's Journey, The Boy Who Would Not Die. The story chronicles the life of Jonathan Swain, the first child diagnosed with AIDS in Colorado. It's an extraordinary tale of a child who beat the odds, written and researched by reporter Robert Sanchez. Here's how his article begins.
Jonathan Swain did not die. Of all the twists in his life, that is perhaps the strangest. He did not die when all the other children died of the plague, as it was called, the killer he named his secret monster. Jonathan Swain did not die even though his mother, curled up beside him in bed, careful not to crush his oxygen tube, told him that he would. Jesus was waiting, Sheila Swain told her youngest child. Heaven was made for little boys like him. Heaven had no spoons filled with medication, no doctor visits. It had no fearful teachers, no classmates who ran away. Heaven, best of all, did not have AIDS. In 1983, Jonathan had come into the world 6 weeks premature, needing blood to battle a life-threatening infection. One bag of donated blood was tainted with a disease then considered the province of gay men, not helpless infants.
For a time, Jonathan Swain was a national celebrity, the centerpiece in a children's book about living with HIV, and the subject of several front-page stories on his battles with illness and heartbreaking discrimination. His family was asked to leave their church, his grandmother once summoned to his school to clean up urine he'd left behind on a toilet seat. But by adolescence, Jonathan's story faded from public view. He's now 21, he has a wife named Amber, and he lives in Utah, where he works as a cook at his dad's restaurant. He sat down to speak with us, along with Rocky Mountain News reporter Robert Sanchez, who explained how he came upon the story.
I was going through some clips in our archives at our newspaper, the Rocky Mountain News, and I pulled all the clips on Jefferson County Public Schools. That's the largest school district in the state of Colorado, just to look at finances and things. And I ran across a bunch of stories from 1988 on Colorado's first child with AIDS. And right there, any journalist is going to see that and say, oh my goodness, this is, if he is alive, this is a great story. And you just look at that and you say, wow, let's try to find out if he's alive.
And when you made the call to Jonathan, John, you had been dealing with reporters all of your life. When Robert contacted you, did you have some apprehension?
A little bit. I mean, I actually hadn't done an interview in a long time, but I was ready to do an interview, and I just thought it was nice that someone from Denver had looked up my old records. And at first, we were just going to do kind of where he is now today, and it just got bigger and bigger.
And the story begins, I guess, where your story begins, shortly after your birth in 1983. At what point in your childhood, when you're often very sickly, at what point in your childhood did you become aware that you carried a deadly and contagious disease?
Well, I remember when I was like 4 years old, or I was three or four, and it was right before I was getting ready to go to preschool or school. It was my mom sat me down and she just said, Johnny, you have bad blood, and the doctors, they're doing everything to help you, but you could die from your bad blood. And basically I was just like, okay, can I go play now? And she I didn't really know what to think, so she said, go ahead. And she said, just make sure you don't tell anyone about it. And the first thing I did, hey, guys, guess what? Hey, I have AIDS. Oh, cool,
Robert, your story describes some heartbreaking scenes from John's childhood. There's one in particular where he's being interviewed by a reporter. He's about age five, and another child walks up to him and speaks with the kind of candor, I guess, that you only hear from kids.
Yeah, the child basically just came up to him and said, I can't play with you. My mom won't let me because of your blood. And John, being a child, wasn't necessarily sure how to react. So he had a ball in his hand and he threw it down on the ground and he said, bad ball, and walked off.
John, do you remember that?
No, I don't. That's why I laugh, is that it's kind of my personality. So,
I can't imagine how difficult your childhood was. I mean, not just the constant illness, but the stares and the rejection at a time when AIDS carried such a big stigma.
Right.
Generally, how did people react? when they learned that you had AIDS?
Oh, I always had to defend myself, that I was a normal person, even though that I wasn't, and that you didn't have to be afraid to be my friend, and that it wasn't, I don't think it was hard for me, because that's all I knew, you know? So.
Your mother asked you to practice something that you could tell the children when you entered preschool. Do you remember what she told you to say?
She told me a few times, you know, if anyone was worried, just to tell them that I have bad blood, and that if I ever fall down and get hurt, to get help, not to touch my blood. I remember that.
This took quite a toll on your mother.
Yeah, it did.
What happened over time?
Well, I don't know. I mean, my brother actually was in a coma around the same time that she found out that I had AIDS. He'd been hit by a car, so I just think that all these things had been adding up on her, and she, I mean, over time, she turned to, you know, alcohol and drugs, and, you know, and the end result, you know, she's in federal prison. But she really did do a good job. I mean, she spoke to all the parents of everyone who was concerned. She educated anyone she could. She even, I mean, I remember her educating my doctors when I was, you know, young. I'm just, you know, because they really didn't even know.
Is she still behind bars?
Yeah, she gets out January 2nd, and she's moving in with me. So I just told her I would take her in, and, I'd, you know, on the condition that she stayed straight, I would look after her. So.
You now live in a small town in Utah. You're close to your father, who
right.
you've been estranged from most of your life. You're married, and you have a baby on the way. And
right.
This is a joyous time for you, but I wonder if there's some apprehension, some fear that you may pass the disease on to your child.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I found out Amber was pregnant, I was so happy, but yet so scared. And, it almost makes me cry, you know.
I don't want to get personal, but this was something that was laid out in the story. You and your wife, Amber, were not intending to have
no.
a child. You were actually practicing safe sex.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't intend on it, and, I mean, it just happened. So, I mean, it was meant to be. And sometimes I wish I inspired myself as much as I inspire other people, because it'd be that much easier to make it through some of the things that have happened in my life, and, I don't know. I was just taught my whole life that I was going to die and this and that. And I just needed to come to the realization that I wasn't going to, and that I had a lot to live for. And now that I have, I know that I will be here for a long, long time.
Jonathan, thank you, and all the best to you.
Thank you.
Jonathan Swain expects his first child on July 22nd. We also spoke with Robert Sanchez, a reporter for the Rocky Mountain News, who wrote the story, Jonathan's Journey, The Boy Who Would Not Die.